This is Fatiolo. My name is DJ Proxcott, and I have 10 studio guests here tonight. I have got members of the various bands from the Southwest Post Rock Collective. And they're based here in Austin and also El Paso. So first of all, Happy New Year. And here is to a very prosperous 2015 for everyone in the room, and also to the fans of the Fade to Yellow show here on Co-op. So can we go round the room, and if you can introduce yourself, your band name, and what instrument you play.
Josh with Cosms, I play bass.
This is Mike, the guitarist for Vorcha.
This is Adam, the bass player of Vorcha.
This is Brock, play drums in Vorcha.
This is Russell, I play drums for Seven Circles.
My name is Reggie, I play guitar for De Luna Means Kindness.
This is Ryan, I play drums for De Luna Means Kindness.
This is Adrian, I play guitar for De Luna Means Kindness.
This is David, I play bass for De Luna.
And this is Jesus, and I play guitar for De Luna.
Okay, thanks all for coming along. So we're in the midst of Free Week here in Austin. It happens every January. I don't know how long this has happened. Does anyone know? It's happened as long as I can remember. But it just seems to have grown so big this year. I mean, they seem to be calling it the South by Southwest for the locals, I guess, before all the crowds come in March. So Southwest Post Rock Collective have a show this evening. Who would like to tell me about that?
Yeah, we have a show tonight with Cosms, Vorcha, Seven Circles, and our brothers in Play by Numbers who aren't here, and De Luna Means Kindness.
Okay, and what time does that show?
It's going to start at 8:30. Play by Numbers is going to kick off the night.
Okay, do you have the lineup?
Yeah, it's going to be Play by Numbers, and then...
Cosms.
Cosms, yeah. And then... Vorcha, and then Deluda, and then Seven Circles is going to close out the night.
Right, okay. So before I ask any more questions about the collective, I was going to ask you all, you know, how does your band sound? What does it sound like? Especially for the listeners out there who are not familiar with instrumental, post-rock, or whatever how you want to call your music. But rather than ask you, I prepared a little something earlier, so let's listen to that right now.
Play by Numbers. Cosms. De Luna Means Kindness. Vorsha. Seven Circles.
And welcome back. You're listening to Fatey Yellow. You've got a taste there of all the bands that are playing at the Scoot Inn, or the historic Scoot Inn as it's called now, right? That was Play By Numbers, Cosms, Diluta Means Kindness, Forsha, and Seven Circles. Was that a true representation of your current sound, guys?
Absolutely.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So what is the Southwest Post-Rock Collective? And how did it all start?
My old band and See You in the Morning and Legendary Skies were all playing a show at the Triple Crown in San Marcos, Texas. And then that's when we kind of like realized that there's a lot more post-rock bands out there than we thought there was.
Okay.
And we kind of culminated a way to kind of make a network to like let all these other post-rock bands know that, or instrumental, ambient, wave music, know that, hey, there's other bands out there that you guys can play with. And we kind of just brought everybody in and kind of invited everybody to come into this collective and just formed an entire like network that now kind of spreads from Tempe, Arizona, all the way to like Tallahassee, Florida.
Right. Yeah, there's quite a few Texas bands. There's bands from Denton, El Paso. Yourselves are from El Paso. So there seems to be a bunch of bands around at the moment. Do you think that's a healthy sign that post-rock scene in Texas is alive and well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like that was like our main purpose, to like kind of like advance the knowledge of instrumental music in general, so that, you know, people can understand that this type of music is out there and it exists.
Right. Because we've got bands here, you know, My Education, Explosions in the Sky, Balmery. We've got a bunch of high end, I guess, you know, kind of post rock type bands, neoclassical type bands. Where do you see you guys fitting in?
To be even like considering the same conversation of like those types of bands, you know, My Education especially, and, you know, the Convolucy, bands like that.
Right.
It's really good to just be in that same sentence with those types of bands. And, most of the bands in the collective are fairly young, and we're kind of using each other to network, to like kind of build each other up. So we kind of like boost each other up, okay, help everybody know everybody else.
Okay. What's the next step for you guys?
I think another Fermata Fest would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That was very successful for us.
Which was also, we got everyone together in November. Of last year.
That was 2013, right?
Yeah. 2013, yeah. And it was incredible to see everyone together. And I thought, it was pretty successful for how ambitious it was of a thing to take on. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a good show. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Stage managed that show for you guys. That was the first time I'd seen a lot of you guys, and you were performing with Bright Like the Sun.
I was at the time, I was still a guitar player for Bright Like the Sun.
Right. So even within the post-rock genre, there's a whole spectrum of sounds. Do you think that is where the bands who sort of defy any genre instrumentally get put in that bucket? Do you think they just stick them in there, like prog bands, it's like...
I definitely think so.
Right.
Because, you set us next to De Luda, and we don't say anything like each other.
Yes.
But... I think, somebody on the outside is like, they're all post-rock bands.
Yeah, because I kind of surprised myself putting that montage of sound together. Today it was like, wow, I was like, yeah, they just sound so different.
Yeah, we're all cut from the same thread, but,
absolutely,
each shirt is different. Or, mm-hmm.
So how often are you guys playing live, and are you playing further afield than Austin or your hometown?
Speaking for De Luda Means Kindness, like we're like a very, very young band. We just started playing in August. So like from August until now, like we find ourselves in Austin and San Antonio and having a great time.
Right.
With Seven Circles, we try and go anywhere that will have us. We've been to Houston and Victoria, Texas, San Antonio, San Marcos. So that's why the collective is so awesome, is because we can network with those guys and fellow bands and just build each other up.
Right.
With Vortra, we've been playing pretty regularly around town, out of town shows are always really fun because we like to travel together, and so I think that's pretty much next on the horizon in between writing songs.
Right.
Yeah, and Cosms is, we play about every couple of weeks here in town, but we've been trying to get, our chops together for, a record which we just cut a couple of days ago, so
right.
Things are about to accelerate. Okay. Quite a bit for us.
And Cosms are the only two-piece?
Two-piece.
Right. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is either three or more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Favorite place to play live?
I like the Scootin' a lot, especially the outside stage. That's a lot of fun. They right. Did a bunch of work mm-hmm. out there, and hopefully, they're getting a lot of good shows coming through there.
We did a Battle of the Bands at Mohawk, and that was really fun.
Outside?
Playing outside, yeah.
Wow.
And it's nice to have a lot of room on stage because I got vertigo and I'm going to fall off every time.
You guys killed it at that show.
Thank you.
Holy Mountain, Scootin', kind of a toss-up for me.
Right.
So, yeah.
I like the sound at the North Door.
Yeah.
And I also like the Spider House. I think they've got it together as well now, mm-hmm. and I think they have got a real good sound.
I like what they do at the North Door, like that live video with that. I think it's like the Good Music Club that does that with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Empire does that too. Place. Empire Control Room.
Yeah, good. So when do you think that post-rock started? Not what you've read, but not the guy who said Bart Psychosis or it's post-rock now. When do you think it actually started?
I personally think like it probably started growing as a genre like in the early 90s.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. For me, it started with Sigur Rós. They're a big band for me, and I didn't really know of much before that.
Right.
Though I don't claim to know,
Right.
Have too much wide of a breadth on the music.
Yeah, Sigur Rós was my entry point, and then Explosions in the Sky soon after, about that same mm-hmm. time, yeah.
I don't think I was paying attention whenever it was birthed. I was listening to something way different. But Mogwai was my first foray into it, and it just blew my mind.
Right.
Like, wide open.
Yeah,
never went back.
I have to agree with Josh. Like, aside from, like, Godspeed You Black Emperor, but Mogwai was, like, my first introduction into, like, modern post-rock music.
Right. But I feel like a lot of bands did songs. Like they would throw an instrumental song, and I would always like gravitate toward that. I'd be like, "Oh, this is the best song on the album."
Yeah,
right. I mean, just like way different types of music too.
Right.
And then when I heard an entire album of it, I was just like, "Well, this just makes sense to me." So,
see, I think guys like Can, going back to Krautrock days, mm-hmm. and Probably some King Crimson had some kind of post-rock stuff in there that I think people probably built on.
Right.
But people seem to be talking more on Bart Psychosis, Slint, Tortoise, Mogwai, Godspeed. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a ton of bands out there that are, you know, up there. And they're still not mainstream. You know, there's probably... And they're not underground as such.
Right.
I mean, you go to a Mogwai concert and there's quite a few people there, Explosions in the Sky.
But still, that's not like... That's not as big as, you know, I don't know, some other, you know, like a big pop act or something. Bands, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like the giant within the little subgenre of rock. But
yeah.
Well, and we kind of jumped on with the discovery of Russian Circles because that was like a kind of new direction for post-rock too. And so it's kind of like a...
Yeah, because they brought that heaviness.
Yeah, they brought the metal, and you know, we're all kind of ex-metal heads, so that's appealed to us.
You're surprising a lot of like post-rock players like used to be in like metal bands,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
The cool thing about post-rock is that it kind of, I think, a celebratory part of it is that you know, it's not mainstream, and I guess it doesn't aim to be, but it provides an alternative way for I don't know, people to enjoy, I guess, music that's, I don't want to say artsy condescendingly, but it's definitely an artsy kind of, you know, sound. And
right.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, it leaves an open door for whoever's, it doesn't dictate, hey, this is what this song's about. It's about my dog and my love.
Right.
And if you don't like it, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
It kind of lets people like create their own narrative too. Like,
exactly.
And I think that's what I initially grabbed on so much. I was just like,
right. Yes. And all the bands that are playing tonight are all instrumental. Is that because no one wanted to sing or no one wanted to be in a band with a singer? Or
if any of us sing, you would never listen to us.
Yeah, right. It's probably for the better.
Right.
I think we can like just safely say like everyone in here is a horrible singer.
Yeah.
Right. Did you start off being want to be instrumental, or were you in a standard, you know?
Well, I mean... For this band specifically, I did, but for other projects I've been in the past, like, I would have wanted a singer, but...
Right.
Just like, elaborating on what, like, Josh was saying a little earlier, like, there's always, like, that one band that has, like, that instrumental section, and it just blows you away, and you, like, you just want to hear more.
This is so much better than the rest of it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
You really get to appreciate the creativity between the musicians. Yeah. A lot of people, I guess, singers can fake it, and the audience doesn't really know the difference most of the time, but... If there's no singer, if it's void of that, you know, everybody has to take in what they're seeing and process it in a different way.
Right.
Makes them think for themselves a little better.
Okay, so a kind of fun question, I guess, is if you could collaborate with anyone, right? Not anyone in the world, who would it be and why? Mm. Whoever's first to jump in.
I've already done this one.
Yeah.
That's a thinker.
Like my band with someone else or me with someone else?
Yeah, your band with someone else.
I don't know.
Or personally.
I'm going to throw it out there.
True, so be careful.
Yeah. I'd probably say...
I email the guys after this and try and hook you up, right?
I would love to play drums with Wes Claypool on bass or do a drum jam with Danny Carey.
Okay.
That would be, you know, anybody who knows me knows that that's pretty obvious.
Okay. Anyone else?
You know, playing instrumental, it would be kind of cool to work with Anthony Green and see how vocals would come into play, you know, something like that.
I don't know, man.
You don't know?
Yeah, it's
maybe you can think about it, and next time you come on the show, you can have an answer ready for us.
It'd be great to like, collaborate with like, anybody in this room. Like,
right.
There you go.
Were you not collaborating with Bright Light the Sun last night?
That was pretty cool show last night, and I actually just jumped on stage with them and played one of the old songs with
them.
Nice. Did you remember it?
Oh yeah! Like 2 minutes before like the show started, like I had to ask like, "What are the chords to the bridge?"
Okay, and you've all released either a full length or an EP. That's correct, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah,
I know because I've got them all, and that's been over the past year or two. Does 2015 look like a good year for further releases?
Funding. Allowing.
Yeah. It's always a roadblock, if you will.
It's definitely on the table for us. Like, we're planning as of now
to put out a full length this year.
Right.
Yeah, Seven Circles, we've got enough material, very close to enough material for a second album, and we're excited about that.
Right.
Vorcha's got a couple new ones in the works, but we're still trucking away at writing more songs.
Right.
Cosm's just tracked 5 on Friday, and so we're looking at probably April or May for a release.
Right.
And I mean, as of right now, we've already got like a couple more written, so you may see 2 little EPs in 2015.
Okay. And you mentioned about funding. How much of a problem is that for bands like yourselves, you know?
I mean, like the standard, I would say, for like a good record is probably, like, most bands are looking about, what, 1,500?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, you know, like, you know, everybody has to work and, you know, pay bills and everything.
Right.
So having to save enough and play enough shows to make enough to come up with that $1,500, yeah, it's not an easy feat. And even after that, there's additional costs, because, like, once you get the music recorded, mixed, mastered, you got to find, like, a medium to put it out on, and then that's additional money you have to invest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and ours was funded by Kickstarter, so
that's right,
we were really thankful that we had enough supporters to do that for us, to help us out with that. But yeah, and then the additional costs kind of hit us once we reached our goal. We're like, well, maybe we should have asked for more.
Yeah, and then you have to factor in promoting after that comes out. I mean, we were lucky enough with Seven Circles to have somebody, you know, be our, what would it be called, a benefactor. But even after that, I mean, we still spent a good amount of money advertising and like the Chronicle and at Waterloo and,
right,
you know,
and
all those.
When you guys put out Imaginal Shells at the, was it the Parish?
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes, you guys like ruled that
night. Oh, thanks, man.
Right.
Yeah, that was a fun night. I mean, but yeah, that's a lot of hard work and a lot of good faith from friends and family, like making that dream come true. And I mean, that makes it all worth it. You know, right. That's why everybody's in here.
Right. Right. And then going on to the last question, what does 2015 hold in store for each of the bands?
Well, I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll be shopping for a studio to see where we're actually, our first release was DIY. We did it all ourselves.
Okay.
So we actually want to get into a room and see what we're going to, where we're going to do this. So that's really what we're aiming for soon.
Okay.
For Seven Circles, I guess our goals are just to branch out further, maybe even play a show out of state. New Orleans is looking mighty tasty, but then put out a new album and just spread the love, light, and grace that, you know, we love doing.
Right. You guys are always welcome in El Paso.
Awesome. Thank you.
Please. Yeah, we're working on some new songs, and then hopefully maybe a mini tour, get going about summertime.
Okay.
We've got a release in April, and then we're going to hit the road somewhere, some place. We were talking with Mount Sherpa about coming out to El Paso.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Maybe we'll come to New Orleans with y'all.
Heck yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
To start. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have got a show to go do at Scoot Inn tonight. Historic Scoot Inn. First band's on at 8:30, Play By Numbers. Then it's Cosms at 9:15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then De Luta at 10.
Yeah.
Vorsha 10:45 and Seven Circles at 11:30.
That's right.
So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Coming in here to Cup and Fade to Yellow and gracing me with your presence. Fantastic.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. We had a blast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.